Welcome to A New Lens with Common Good Capital, where we talk with investors, RIAs, fund managers, and philanthropists about their experience within different impact investing themes, as well as explore the power of stewardship and capital. I'm your host, Jeff Schaefer, CEO of Common Good Capital. With me today is Sherry Cook. Sherry is SVP Business Development at iCapital Networks. Previously, she was CEO and founder of AI Insights. This year, Sherry is also the president of Adisa. This is a perfect role for her, as when I think of Sherry, what comes to mind is professional and leader who cares about people, the industry, and moving forward together. So thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
Give our audience a little perspective of who you are. Where'd you grow up? Where you went to school? And then a little bit about your career.
If you're going way back, so I was born out in Chicago, and then we went kind of back and forth from Chicago and the East Coast several times, and then landed in Connecticut. So I was really lucky. I had a great childhood, great parents, and great friends. And I then went to Bucknell University after college, had a great college experience, and then went down to Dallas right out of college graduation and started in the private real estate world. Right before the, I'll age myself by saying this, but right before the 1986 tax law changes, which was a really interesting time to start out in the business.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Let me ask this. Why did you go to this real estate space? What drew you to it right out of college?
Yeah, it's a good question. Most people don't, you know, get out of college and go straight into alternative investments, right?
Right.
Most people don't graduate and go right into alternative investments, right? My dad was in the business, though he was a chemical engineer by training. He went into oil and gas partnerships and syndication and then moved over into real estate. While I was growing up, I was always exposed to it. My dad was really good about having conversations about it. We joke a lot because we would go on vacations as kids and people would say, where are you going? And we'd say, hey, we're going to Oklahoma City to visit multifamily housing units or something like that, right? Because we would go along on these trips and it was great as a kid because this was back when you could still go out in the paddle boats and insurance didn't preclude you from doing that. So, so anyway, I grew up around it. When I graduated, it was kind of a natural way to go. So that's how I got into it.
How long were you in the real estate space? And then ultimately take us what took you to AI Insight and then what you're doing today. And then just give a little snapshot of what your role is at Adisa.
So I worked down in Dallas for about 4 years. And after we pretty much took all of those private real estate programs through reorgs after the 86 mm-hmm. tax law changes. I didn't really want to stay in property management, which is kind of where they landed. So I had great friends from high school that were out in San Francisco and went out and visited and actually had a great time just meeting people and networking and, you know, trying to figure out next steps. And I ended up going to work for an equipment leasing syndicator. So I took a bit of a shift. And that was really where over the next 10 or 12 years, I had the experience and firsthand opportunity to see what I thought was a missing piece of our industry. One is there wasn't really any centralized source to go and gather information on private illiquid investments or, you know, do any sort of comparisons. And kind of taking that to the next step from an education standpoint, I was always involved in the compliance and due diligence side. So I would counsel our sales team on, you know, how best to say things and how not best to say things, right? Fast forward, I'd had my first two kids and the Bay Area is an amazing place to live and I'd had a great time, but, you know, the commute kind of gets to you. And so we decided that we would up and move to Columbus, Ohio, where it felt a little bit more like where I had grown up and ended up affording me the opportunity and time to explore starting up this kind of niche concept of creating a database where we have access to the consistent and transparent information around alternative investments and then creating some education. And that was how AI Insight was born. Then was just incredibly lucky to bring in people and partners to grow the business over the last 15 years.
you know, you were a pioneer in that whole education space, and then you got sick. And from somebody who didn't know you, but kind of watched, one of the cool things that I got to see was an industry that came around you and really supported you. And again, I don't know the details, but it almost, they kind of really gave you a lane because the industry knew they needed what you provided. And I watched an industry come around and lift you up, probably metaphorically and literally. Did I see that right back in the day?
Yes. It was unbelievable. Really, it was, I was at a point, the company was more than a concept. We'd been in business for about 5 years, 4 years, and I got breast cancer. And just amazing people in this industry. And I'm so grateful to people that are still really good friends today who recognize this is something, as you said, that the industry needs. And, you know, timing on this is not so good. So, you know, I feel so personally blessed that it happened. It's a terrible thing. Nobody wants to go through that. But as a result, so many positive things happened. It brought, you know, my two partners in who helped us take the company from really a small concept entity where we had maybe 25, 30 clients to, you know, where we were when we sold to iCapital at 120 on the wealth management side and, you know, hundreds on the fund side. And people in the industry who said, what do you need? How can we help? And just so generously, both time and creative thinking on how do we work together. It was really amazing.
Yeah. And I imagine, I mean, I know you today and I know what you're passionate about and I know you in your role as the president for Adisa. I got to believe that's part of the reason why you're so passionate about industry working together and moving forward.
Oh, for sure. It's an industry of people, right? And so it's always been a core part of who I am and who AI Insight was, is have integrity, right? And let's see what we can do to make things better. And I think that resonates for most people. I'm not sure that people know how to do that, right? And you can't do it alone. And if you just get enough people who care about the same things and are willing to come together collaboratively, you can make amazing things happen.
What's interesting is competition is a wonderful thing too, because it spurs everybody on. But you can take competition too much so that it kills collaboration. And so how do you manage that? And this is not to speak ill of my first 20 years of my career, but what I have noticed in the impact industry, and maybe it's because it's still newer, there is more collaboration today. And I just want, maybe that has to do with more size. But I love how you are constantly pushing for the industry, especially in the alt space, to work together to make things better, because it can do such amazing things for people's portfolios as well as just for society as a whole. Okay, so you've had a wonderful career and you clearly are influential in the industry. How would you best describe yourself in the context of where you're at in your life journey?
I'm really lucky, right? I've had such a great opportunity to participate within the industry, and our opportunity to become partners with iCapital was pretty phenomenal. You know, over the years, we'd had people approach us and say, you know, would you like to be purchased? You know, we're interested in purchasing you, or, you know, private equity firms come in, and we were pretty happy. I mean, being able to control quality and the integrity of our product and always very customer centric. And we laugh, we really were not super sales driven. I mean, you know, it was much more, we were, but it was such a relationship business, right? And we were just really lucky that if we were working with the broker dealers, then it made sense they needed to work with the sponsors. And so being right in the middle of it is exactly where we wanted to be, because we could be Geneva and agnostic and just try to bring everybody together. So it was really such a sweet spot for us. When Lawrence Calcano, who's the CEO at iCapital, reached out, and we've been aware of them for years and heard great things, said, hey, I feel like maybe we should sit down and kind of talk. And my son is up at school in Boston, and I was taking him back to school. And Lawrence said, well, why don't you come down to lunch? it was over Labor Day weekend. And I said, that would be great. And he invited the executive committee to come. And keep in mind, this is a holiday weekend. And there was like everybody who could make it made the effort to come that day. And sitting there talking to them and seeing their commitment to the company and their commitment to the industry and, you know, having common goals and approaches and perspectives around education, it really made a big impact. And so, and I was super impressed, and it was a very natural conversation. So I left and, you know, called my partners, and they were like, yes, this sounds like a really good fit. And we talked about before, it was about bringing all together the opportunity to leverage what we've done, and not just a capital infusion, right? To take what we've done and then make it bigger, because there's a shared vision on how we want to grow and responsibly grow, right? The alternative investment space. A lot of hard work for that 3 months. That was at the fall of 2020, and on both sides through the end of the year. And then come the third week in January of 2021, everybody at AI Insight moved over to become a part of the iCapital family, which has been amazing.
How are you trying to change the world, whether it be in a small way or whether it be in a big way?
I think a lot of it goes to attitude. I mean, I try to keep a positive attitude and be positive in circumstances. You know, I try to be kind, always try to have integrity. And I think that that's really important, right? Is that I tell the kids, you know, something like, if everybody picked up one piece of trash today, the world would be a really clean place, right? So it starts with us. And if I can try and do my best at work, right? Do my very best at work, and wherever I am, kind of show up the right way, then that's a good start. For me personally, though, the really fun stuff comes when I start thinking a little bit bigger, right? So I got to make sure I'm staying squarely within my value space. And then I get really happy when I get to start thinking, how can I leverage where I am in life to help make positive differences? We talked a little bit earlier about having conversations with people and on planes or at different events and trying to hear what's important to them and, you know, seeing how either I can connect them with other like-minded people or bring them into associations like ADESA, right? And say, hey, how do we all work together collaboratively and stimulate excitement around moving things forward? Or maybe just excitement about where you are right then. I tend to be a natural problem solver. That's where I go. But I have to also back up and say a lot of people are very happy right where they are, right? And that's also really important, is just to, you know, stay right where you are and have the right attitude.
So the industry that you and I are in, and I'll just at the highest level, it's alternative investments, whether it's investing in real estate, private credit, private equity, let's just leave it at that for a second, can be highly impactful. I mean, one, for people's portfolios, and then two, that capital can be invested in things. I mean, it contributes to the way you and I function and the society lives. So when did you realize the power of capital, and maybe articulate what that means to you?
Personally, if I think back to when capital made a big difference to me, it was probably in high school when I wanted a car. My dad's like, great, get the money and buy yourself a car. And I think I've told you this story before, but I bought the car and that was great. And then the car broke down and I didn't have any more money, right? So it was kind of a lesson in capital is great, but it has to be kind of an ongoing commitment. And interestingly enough, a friend of mine at the time changed the brakes on the car, not probably a good idea. But, you know, you bring together capital, you bring together resources and talent and all of those things together end up getting you the best result. So maybe not such a good result on my car, didn't end up having to sell it, but I think probably my next exposure to capital in a different sense is I had started a charity out in San Francisco called Art for Kids Sake, where we would put together big events, and we had, again, like an amazing following of porters and volunteers and businesses in San Francisco that would contribute to make it happen. Didn't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So it was really a foray into a different kind of capital, right? So the resources, the time, talent, and treasures exploration. For 8 years, we really made a big difference in the lives of kids who had cancer in their families for like one day or We did two events a year for that one day. And so that was the power of personal capital and resource capital. That experience, I think, has continued to just nurture my own desire to say, okay, whether it's the AI Insight platform that we built over 15 years, how are ways that we can take that stand to communicate and support people in a positive way?
You just take a organization like Adisa or anything like that in the financial services industry. We so often just think of it as business. We think about it as it's just business. But when you figure out what's going on behind it, it is so powerful what it's doing in society. So just take the alternative investment space. I don't know the exact numbers, but let's say it'll bring in $40 billion of capital this year. Go to parts of the world that don't have this private market and their economy doesn't function as well. We lose that how important this marketplace is, in case of private markets. And so even I look at your career, you've been so instrumental in getting capital to flow to these areas through professionalism, through due diligence, through all that kind of stuff. And on one hand, you can put your head down at night and go, what did I do? On the other hand, you're like, yeah, you've helped facilitate. In fact, it'd be fascinating to figure out AI Insight. How much capital did you all help drive over its 15, 20 years? Pretty cool concept if you think about it. So you have capital, you have talents, you have resources or whatever. There's probably this idea of stewardship, maybe not as much in the investing world, maybe more on philanthropic stuff, but let's just in the concept of capital, what does stewardship mean to you?
I think it means responsibility. I think it means opportunity. I think it means that we're all fortunate and blessed enough to be in this space. And I'm obviously super blessed to have had a chance to be a part of the AI Insight platform. And I'm really fortunate to be a part of Adisa. How do we maximize where we are in life to try to advance positive outcomes? We think of stewardship, you know, we all live on this earth, you know, we have a responsibility to take care of it. I love the idea that the financial services world has an opportunity to let people point capital in the direction of preserving and protecting the environment in all sorts of different ways. I love the fact that creativity and innovation is something that can be rewarded by attracting capital and then moving it in directions that matter to people. You know, I think over time, well, over the last 15 years, it hasn't been something that we've been able to mobilize as well. And when we started, I'll tell you a quick story. When we started AI Insight, and one of the goals was to create kind of this summary of funds in a consistent way, right? So we could have consistent transparency and disclosure. And the last field that we put on in 2005 was, is there any socially or environmentally responsible aspects to your fund? Frankly, over time, there wasn't a lot that got put in there, but it's something that's, I've always recognized we can do something, right? I mean, I don't say I, like, you know, we as an industry, but it was something that I was very passionate about. It's patient. We have to educate people. We have to increase awareness around opportunities that can help us be better stewards. We need to educate clients on the opportunities to tap into things that they're passionate about, as well as ensuring, you know, the American dream and achieving financial security. I mean, we've talked about it a lot in the past, right? Kind of that aspirational wealth concept of in the financial world, we have a responsibility to provide that baseline of the pyramid, financial security. But we have the opportunity to do so much more.
No, I totally agree. All right, so I'm going to deviate for a second because you said something there that I'd love to pick on for a second. So what are some of your passions?
Well, of course, you know, I think we all start with our family, of course. I get really passionate about trying to, and I don't want to sound really corny, but I do get kind of passionate about trying to make a difference. I think I've said before that can drive my family a little crazy. Yeah, because I'm always looking for better ways to do things. We volunteer at the dog shelter. It's a way that we can go out and say, okay, we can't necessarily change the circumstances of things, but we can all do something small to help make things a little bit better. I get passionate when I talk to people who are equally interested in along those same lines, right? So we'll have conversations and I'll get off so inspired from our conversations that it makes me want to go do something more, makes me want to go and reach out to the next person and talk about that or creatively try to bring people together to solve for a problem or, you know, social issues, diversity, inclusion. Education has always kind of been central in terms of passion. Part of why I started AI Insight in the first place. How do we get education out there to advisors to help them better serve their clients, better understand the opportunities? Love to get more involved in expanding awareness and opportunity from a DE&I standpoint. How do we reach more people and give them more and better opportunities?
If you had, I'm going to say a dream, because it's hard to nail one. If you had a dream that could come true for your life, what would one of those be?
Aside from the personal side, right? We have dreams for our families and our kids and everything, but that what I've done over the course of my life, and a lot of it's professional, we spend a lot of time, right, in our jobs. You know, the things that I've participated in, the things that I've helped to build will somehow translate in, even if it's just a couple of people saying, wow, that really helped me. But I'd love to see us reach a lot more people in helping to make, you know, their lives better, right? If I can, I used to talk about the AI Insight platform, and now we have a much larger platform with iCapital. But, you know, if we can take what we're doing and help make people's lives easier, and if we can facilitate wrapping in education that allows us to have a positive influence on this space, and I think we can't get around it coming back to impact, right? Because it's more than just the money.
Mm-hmm.
How do we take what we're doing and make a difference in people's lives, right? And that could be as simple as the relationship that an advisor is able to have with their clients and their families.
Yep.
And that touches them and they help them, you know, to something more dramatic where we reach a whole community of people who were never aware of some element of alternatives, that what we're doing can make a difference.
Yeah, I think we want to have significance. We want to know that our life matters. And when I left my previous career, I was there for 20 years, and by a worldly standards, it was all successful. But when you leave 2 days later, they're fine without you. And so you do want to know, though, that what you've done has made a difference.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's not like I want to know for me. That's like, I really do. You want to, I know you're the same way, right? It's not so much that I want to know that I made the difference.
Sure.
It's that I know that I could be a part of leveraging things to make a difference, right?
Yep.
And you're doing that all the time, which I love, you know. And
I'm trying.
Yeah, and connecting people, like it's so much of it is around connection. That's really what makes the difference. And we circle back to, you know, my personal experiences in the industry. Those are because of really good connections with people, really, you know, building relationships that matter and getting to know people and saying, how can I help you? And how can I be willing to think outside the box sometimes?
You know, it's interesting, the connections that you make with other people. So I had an experience, and I won't go through the whole thing, but I had an experience just the other day where I was a pen pal with a guy in prison 30 years ago. I ended up reconnected with him and I wrote him a letter. Unfortunately, he's back in prison. But I came in my office the other day and a letter, I didn't know it was from him, but it was on underneath my door. And immediately I turned it over and I saw the handwriting, which is like, okay, I remember this handwriting without even reading it. And it was this guy who I just recently wrote. And what was fascinating about that, and I could go into a lot of detail, but ultimately a little bit later that night, I called another guy who has a criminal past. And I didn't put this all together until a couple of days afterwards, but I called this other guy. And I just said, hey, I just want you to know I'm so grateful that you're in my life and blah, blah, blah. And I realized, actually it was this morning, that the reason why I was full and I could actually make that comment to this other guy is because that connection I just had with this pen pal filled me up. So then I could go and extend that to somebody else. And it hit me this morning. And I'm like, because I didn't even know why I reached out to the guy. I mean, other than I felt this about him, but I don't know why. And it's like, oh, yeah, I was filled up through this connection, which then allowed me to take it to somebody else and vice versa. So your connection makes it, I love that.
Oh my gosh. And it's when we were just down, right? We were in Dallas at that event. we were having conversations about foster homes, like, and my husband works for a company, and the guy who started it, you know, he'll go back and say, I was just so incredibly fortunate. I was brought into a family of eight. I was a foster child. And as a result, and he's African-American, I graduated from Harvard and Yale. And so he started an organization that's going into the inner city schools, charter schools, to try to make them better, right? To have other people have similar opportunities. And so we were just chatting with people in the Uber one night. It moved over to, well, I think if more people fostered, that would be the answer. So we kind of like talked about that. Absolutely, that would make a huge difference. But education and, you know, all of those things factor into it. So the next day I get in my Uber to go to the airport, and my driver, you know, we're chit-chatting, and I said, yeah, how many kids do you have? And he says, I have 100. Like, you're kidding. You have 100 kids? He goes, yeah, I've fostered 100 kids. And I was like, wow. And so he just went on, just such a fascinating, amazing guy. And then I got on the plane and I was in the very back row, which I tried to get off, you know, I tried to get out of. And but I was meant to be there, kind of not meaning to, but listening to these two flight attendants talk about the story. And she said, I got a call this morning. I've been, you know, in her case, she's like, I've been praying for the opportunity to foster a 16-year-old girl. And they called me this morning and said, we have somebody for you. Mm. And she's chatting. She goes, I don't think I can do it. I think I'm going to call and say I can't do it. And I don't really ever do this, but I'm sitting, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like too much of a coincidence, right? Mm-hmm. I never talk about fostering children. And then I mean, what are the odds I'm going to get in a cab and hear from You're somebody right. that fostered 100 kids? I'm like, okay, thank you very much. This is a sign. I have to act on it. Yeah. So I jotted a note and I'm like, you can crumble this up if you want, but I apologize. I overheard you. And we've had three kids in Haiti that we've supported for the past 12 years. And I wrote that we've always tried to find a way to bring them to the States. You know, how can we give them a better opportunity? And I just wanted to say that if you decide to do this, I still think about it. I'm like, I can't believe I said this. She doesn't know who I am. I said, if you decide to do this, here's my phone number and you need moral support, call me. Because I don't know, it just feels like maybe this is something. And she was going back and forth. And then she read it and she talked to the lady. She's like, this is the third thing today that's happened to me because someone reached out, right? Mm. They didn't just keep it in their head, right? Mm-hmm. And so she goes, I'm going to get off this phone instead of not making that call. I'm going to make the call and I'm going to bring that girl into my home.
Wow.
And then afterwards we chatted a little bit. She said, I just want to thank you for your note. And she said, part of her concern is she travels all the time and, you know, kids in these circumstances oftentimes have abandonment issues.
Right.
And she goes, I just don't know if that's fair. But then she went on to say that she already actually has a 16-year-old girl that she fosters who's done really, really well. Mm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you have two things right here that's just jumped out at me. One of them is you already have someone who's successfully in that, right? She's thriving. And you bring someone else in to have a really good mentor and example. And now you've changed two lives, right? Mm-hmm. And the other part is you're teaching that child that just because you leave doesn't mean you're not coming back.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh, these are the kinds of things in life that I live for. You know, try to be a part of things that get people to someplace new.
You and I do some stuff together on ADISA. And so I will follow your lead and you can lead us this year and we will make a difference in the lives of our members and hopefully others that we come in contact with. I want to thank you, Sherry, for jumping on today and being vulnerable and giving us a glimpse of who you are. So thanks for coming on and sharing with us today.
Well, thanks, Jeff, for all you do. And it's not me leading. It's people like you who come in to organizations like ADISA with great ideas and commitment and values that allow us to do some great things. So thanks for that. And thanks for inviting me today. And
awesome. Well, don't forget to subscribe to A New Lens with Common Good Capital on your podcast app of choice. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. This will help new listeners find the show and hopefully put them on a path to a more fulfilling portfolio within the impact investing space. I'm Jeff Schaefer. Until next time. This podcast is a production of Common Good Capital and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation of an offer. Such offer would only be made through a private placement memorandum. Prospective investors in private placement securities should be aware that making an investment is speculative and involves a high degree of risk. including the risk of losing all or a portion of an investment. Investments of this nature are illiquid and subject to substantial restrictions upon transferability.